G'day and welcome to Ad Nauseam Podcast. Today we're going to talk about the approach to the patient with a snake bite. The resources for today to credit are Safer Care Victoria's guidelines and therapeutic guidelines. Please look at your local resources given the variety of snakes around Australia. Firstly, we'll talk about first aid. You need to firstly apply a pressure bandage to the limb and note the time that it was applied. Immobilise the limb and the patient and assess for clinical and laboratory evidence of envenomation. We need to consider early antivenom less than 2 hours from the time of the bite, which is time equals zero, and that may be on clinical suspicion alone as the path is not back yet. For the pressure bandage, we're going to use a broad 10 to 15 centimetre elasticised bandage. We're going to apply the bandage to cover the whole limb. We're going to start the bandage distally, so toes or fingers, and continue up the limb to include the bite site as high as possible, so to the groin or axilla. The bandage should be fitted as a firm bandage as if bandaging a sprained ankle, and immobilisation of the limb with a splint and immobilisation of the patient with bed rest is essential. Now we'll talk about the features on assessment. So starting with history, for the bite, we want to know the time of the bite, the location, the number of bites, what clothing was worn, whether there's pain or swelling at the bite site. We want to know about first aid, so risk of envenomation is delayed if the PBI is delayed or there's excessive limb movement. We want to know briefly about past history, medications and allergies, and also symptoms of envenomation via the syndromes. Is there a headache? Is there bleeding? Swallowing difficulty, blurred vision, feeling weak, breathlessness, or has there been an episode of collapse? We're going to treat as envenomed immediately if there's a history of unconsciousness, collapse, convulsions, or cardiac arrest concurrent with usual care. That's consistent with a brown snake, tiger snake, or taipan. For neurotoxic paralysis, so ptosis, ophthalmoplegia, limb weakness, respiratory weakness, that can be a tiger, taipan, death adder, or rough scalded snake. For coagulopathy, so VIC, prolonged bleeding from wounds and venipunctures, think of brown snake, tiger snake, taipan, rough scalded snake, and hoplocephalus. For myotoxicity, so muscle pains, tenderness, weakness, or myoglobinuria, tiger snake, taipan, rough scalded snake, red belly black snake, and mulga snake. Discuss with VPIC or Clintox in your area to see if antivenom is indicated for any patient with significant symptoms, especially headache, vomiting, or early collapse, or any patient who appears systemically unwell, and consider tiger, death adder, rough scalded snake, red belly black snake, and mulga snake there, or if there's significant local bite site effects, so necrosis, swelling, or lymph adenopathy. Moving on now to the laboratory tests we're going to order as soon as we can when the patient arrives, 1 hour after the pressure bandage has been removed, and then 6 and 12 hours after either the bite or the antivenom has been administered. We're going to order a full blood count for a raised white cell count, anemia, thrombocytopenia, blood film, we're looking for evidence of microangiopathy, AUC, we're looking for an AKI, CK for myotoxicity, LDH for microangiopathy, coag obviously for VIC and the anticoagulant syndrome, also D-dimer and a blood group and screen in case we need to give blood products for the VIC in particular. For VIC, we're looking for INR greater than 1.2, prolonged APTT, low or undetectable fibrinogen, and a raised D-dimer at least 10 times the upper limit of normal. For a complete VIC, INR greater than 3, D-dimer greater than 100 times normal, fibrinogen unrecordable. Partial VIC, INR less than 3, D-dimer 10 to 100 times normal, fibrinogen is low. For the myotoxicity, we're looking for a CK greater than 1,000, plus or minus hyperkalemia on the AUC. For the AKI, again, looking for raised creatinine, plus or minus hyperkalemia. For evidence of a MAHA, looking for thrombocytopenia, red cell fragments or spherocytes on the film, and a raised serum LDH. And also, we're looking for a raised white cell count for non-specific toxidrome. Also want to check urine for myoglobinuria. So what if there's no evidence of envenomation clinically? We're going to remove the pressure bandage and note the time. 1 hour after removal, we're going to repeat bloods and re-examine. If there's new evidence of envenomation, we're going to treat with antivenom. 6 hours post-bite, we're going to repeat the bloods and re-examine. 12 hours post-bite, we're going to repeat the bloods and re-examine. When considering discharge, we're going to do that during the day, at least 12 hours after the initial bite, after the examination and blood tests are unremarkable. And what about if envenomation is confirmed? Firstly, we're going to liaise with our Poisons Information Centre or the clinical toxicologist regarding the appropriate antivenom. Depending on your location, that will guide the treatment. But for Victoria, often it's a Tiger and a Brown antivenom that's usually most appropriate. For Tassie, often a Tiger only, unless it's a snake handler. Polyvalent has Black Snake, Taipan, Death Adder, Tiger and Brown antivenom, and the indications are significant doubt about the snake type, likelihood of a mulga, death adder or taipan envenoming, or as per the tox advice. When administering the antivenom, it's going to be together in 100 to 200 mils of saline over 15 minutes intravenously. We're going to also prepare for anaphylaxis in a monitored environment with fluid and adrenaline ready with two IVCs. If there is anaphylactic reaction, we're going to pause the antivenom but not throw it away. We're going to give adrenaline and fluids as we normally would with anaphylaxis, but importantly, we're going to recommence antivenom when the reaction has settled. We're going to remove the pressure bandage after the antivenom infusion is completed, and then 6 hours after antivenom, we're going to repeat bloods and examination. We're going to manage any end organ dysfunction with fluids and FFP for Vic, acknowledging that antivenom does not treat underlying Vic, and we need new synthesis of products over 24 to 36 hours, or FFP. 12 hours after antivenom, again, we're going to repeat the bloods and exam, and we're going to consider discharging after this point if there are normal exam and bloods during the daytime. If the patient needs to stay in hospital due to their envenomation, the blood should be repeated every 12 to 24 hours thereafter until they're normalizing. Importantly, we need to monitor for a serum sickness-like reaction, which can happen in up to 30% of patients over the next 4 to 14 days, so counsel them about that, about a flu-like illness. Moderate to severe cases can require prednisolone 25 to 50 milligrams for 7 days. We also need to check tetanus status and give ADT as required. Finally, we'll talk about the envenomation syndromes by snake. The brown snake causes Vic, microangiopathy, AKI, collapse, and that's in mainland Australia. Tiger snake causes all syndromes apart from the anticoagulant, and that's in southern Australia. Rough-scaled snake causes all of the syndromes apart from collapse and anticoagulant, and that's eastern Australia. Hoplocephalus causes Vic and microangiopathy AKI, and that's in eastern Australia. Taipan causes Vic, neurotoxicity, myotoxicity, microangiopathy AKI, and collapse, and that's in northern Australia and far north Queensland. A death adder causes neurotoxicity and a non-specific toxidrome, and that's in mainland Australia, excluding Victoria. Red-belly blacksnake causes myotoxicity and a non-specific and anticoagulant toxidrome, and that's in eastern Australia. And the mulga snake is the same, myotoxicity, non-specific and anticoagulant, and that's mainland Australia, excluding the eastern seaboard. Okay, so we've talked about the approach to the snake bite, the history, the initial first aid, the clinical envenomation syndromes, laboratory tests, and then criteria for discharging the patient or giving antivenom. So thanks for listening.